Thanks for listening to Countdown to Kickoff. Now, 97.9 FM, WCHL Championship Sports. Present The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
Larry Fedora and Bubba Cunningham are here, and they have taken football in another direction.
I'm an old-school traditionalist. I want to go back to 8 members, including South Carolina.
Join us for the next hour of our pregame coverage as Art Chansky and internet legend Bob Lee discuss Carolina football and all the hot topics concerning college football here in town, across the ACC, and across the country.
Again underneath to Morris. Morris at the 40, 35, 30. Romar's going to go. Go, Romar, go. Touchdown, Carolina.
I look more at how we do against institutions that I consider our comparables, and certainly Virginia would be in that.
Larry Fedora is Bill Belichickian in his approach to injuries.
The win today, particularly after last week, will help quite a bit, if only for the short term, before we have to face some other realities.
A win here, he becomes a hero to Tar Heel Nation.
Now, page 2 of 97.9 FM's exclusive Carolina football pregame coverage. The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
This is Art C. and Bob Lee, please, on this stadium, right across the street from where we are, where we've lost 3 of these bowl games with 3 different names. The Continental Tire Bowl, the Meineke Car Care Muffler Bowl, and oh no, actually we lost that game twice in consecutive years. Please, let's not lose another one and finish the season with the ignominious 6-7 record, which only happens to teams that go to bowls at 6-6 and then lose. Please work your magic.
I will do so. Here's a trivia question. Talk about changing names of bowls. As I look up there, do you remember the original name of this stadium?
I do.
And what was it?
Erickson Stadium.
Erickson, which was a cell phone maker of the era.
Next, from WCHL Championship Sports, it's time for The Good Sports. Art C.
That is moi.
And Bob Lee.
That's me.
And I'm Rand Northam. Today's Good Sports with Bob Lee and Art C. is coming to you live from the Belk Bowl in Charlotte at Bank of America Stadium as we count down to the Tar Heels game with the Cincinnati Bearcats. Good afternoon, Good Sports. What do you think?
Good afternoon, and delighted to be here on a beautiful day for an elongated Good Sports show right here in the shadow of Bank of America, hoping the Carolina Tar Heels play like the Carolina Panthers of late. And Bob Lee, I haven't asked you, how was your Christmas? Or do you even celebrate Christmas?
We do celebrate Christmas.
Or is it
in the Bob Lee
household? Kwanzaa in your family.
No,
right?
Nor is it Ramadan. We do celebrate Christmas in the old-fashioned way, and naughty and nice. But here we are. It's
nice.
Football.
What are you talking about?
Naughty
nice.
And nice. Yeah. Naughty. A bag of coal and switches.
Naughty and nice. Yeah. Well, we're gonna do something special right here. We're gonna bring Brian Chakos in as our first guest at the top of the hour because Lee Pace is here before and between.
We have some great guests today. I mean, really, the best guest ever today.
Between Brian Chakos and Lee Pace, I mean, there's more knowledge crammed into those two respective noggins about Carolina athletics.
Oh, that's kind of you guys,
Brian. You're here with your daughter and your wife?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Starting her young, 18 weeks old, first bowl game. So looking forward to it, guys.
You look better than the last time I saw you. She must be sleeping through the night.
Not exactly. I think it's stress of first-time dad, the way Carolina has played this year a little bit.
And my Atlanta Falcons
going from possible Super Bowl 11 yards short to now total disaster.
What
season.
The hell happened to them?
Awful. To them? Just no offensive line, no defensive line. No.
The last time Carolina won a bowl game, weren't you on that roster?
I was a redshirt freshman 2001.
And who did we
Auburn.
Beat?
We beat Auburn.
Can you
Tommy
Tuberville. Say that? Carolina beat Auburn. Just amazing.
Carolina
just
beat
words.
Auburn.
Wow, is that ever cool?
It was beautiful.
Were
it
you
was,
on the sideline?
I was on the sidelines watching that game. It was unbelievable to see the talent we had on that sideline. Julius Peppers, Ryan Sims, David Thornton, Quincy Monk, Mercita Perry, I mean, Dexter Reed, I mean, that Ronald Curry, I mean, that's the kind of talent Carolina had.
That was Bunning's first year.
That was Bunning's first
and
year.
Mac's last recruiting class, right?
Mac's last recruiting class.
Right.
You know, and Torbush obviously had his stint where he carried over some folks. But that was Coach Bunning's first team that he fully coached.
So those
coached.
Guys beat up on you in practice.
I went against Julius Peppers every day on scout team. I was a 250-pound, soaking wet 18-year-old from Connecticut who had never lifted a weight in his entire life. And then I go against a guy who's 6'6", 295 pounds, 3% body fat, and was the biggest freak of athlete I've ever seen in my entire life. Unbelievable. Well, absolutely unbelievable.
Fond memories, still some aches and pains, right?
Good memories, still some aches and pains. Was never scared to go against anyone, never nervous, never anything like that, though.
Brian, yeah, I want to talk to you about Carolina football on the field, but your new role off the field is really interesting to me because, you know, we've all been in marketing for most of our adult lives. You got a great challenge selling tickets for the Rams Club and really taking us out of an age where Carolina didn't have to sell tickets or didn't think they had to sell tickets. And tell us about your job and how interesting it is trying to change the mindset, not only internally, but among Carolina fans.
Yeah, it's a great new role. I'm the director of ticket sales and fan development. And again, it's a new role that Carolina has never had. You know, I think what we've done is we've relied so much on the Carolina brand, and what they say in the NFL is relying on the shield. But I think we relied so much on the NC and the Carolina blue to sell tickets and to have your support every Saturday in Keenan Stadium. And in 2013, that's just not the case. You got to go out and you got to ask people for their support. You got to ask people for their dollars. And that's something that myself and I have two great staff members that help me. We make outbound calls. We make outbound meetings. And we go and we talk to business leaders in the community. And we just tell them that we need their help. I need Larry and the coaching staff and the players. It's great seeing full stands, not seeing the aluminum, having support, and we've made a great effort, and it's been a really big success for the first five months we've been at it.
This issue is fascinating to me, and I've been talking about it for 3 or 4 years. I mean, certainly we know that Carolina football has had its issues in the last 3 or 4 years. Okay, that's one thing. But the issue that you're really dealing with is a national issue.
Absolutely.
With the college football has never been more popular. It's how people choose to enjoy it. That's
right.
The issue. That the HD TVs and the home theaters have become so, and the graphics on TV, so incredibly convenient.
It
that
is.
The idea of sitting in a bleacher is, why am I going to do that?
Sure.
That's the challenge I see that you have.
It is. And I think part of it is, if you're a real football fan, I sort of think it's a little bit of a cop-out. And I'll tell you two reasons. One is because when we're outside and we're in front of Bank of America, there you can feel the energy of the fans. You can smell the smoke and the tailgate, and you can see people enjoying themselves, interacting, having a good time. And you can't get that when you're inside your house and, you know, your kids are running around, they're screaming, the wife is, you know, asking you to do something, and you're trying to enjoy the game. When you're out here with your friends, you're building the fellowship, that's the first thing. The second thing is, and this is the example that I always use, if you were at the NC State football game last year and you saw Giovanni Bernard's punt return and you felt the energy in Keenan Stadium, you can't feel that through the radio. You can't feel that through the iPad or your 60-inch TV. You might get the same excitement level, but when you're turning around, you're high-fiving a guy or a girl behind you, or you're hugging them, or you're doing whatever, you're jumping, you're cheering, that's the kind of stuff that makes it great to go into a football venue. And really feel that passion and that energy.
That's exactly right. I remember you can feel what you feel listening to it on the radio and watching
sure.
the TV.
Well, I think our rivalries, and of course, State is the biggest institution nearby that has a large fan base. We're
sure.
talking about Duke being a rival too, and certainly this year and last year, but they simply don't have the numbers.
Right.
To,
sure.
But they, in terms of on the field, our players will be rival. The State game is always going to sell out if it's
right.
a snowstorm at midnight.
Sure.
But how do you sell out a Middle Tennessee game or an Old Dominion game?
Right. Well, I think that's where our department comes in. I think it's where you've had a gentleman who's been coming to Carolina games for 25, 30-plus years. They've never got a phone call or a personalized touch from anyone in the athletic department. That goes a long way, guys. I don't know how much retail shopping or how much investment you guys do in companies, but when you hear from someone from that brand or that company and they say, hey, Art, or hey, Bob, I really appreciate your guys' business over the many years. Thanks for coming out. Here's some things that we're trying to do to attract more business and more support. We'd love to have you guys come out. Next year, we have 6 home game guys next year. If you're a Carolina fan, can you not commit to 6 Saturdays next year? I mean, we're trying to build something special here. We got season tickets that are $270, some that are $99 in certain sections. I mean, you can see 6 football games in Keenan Stadium for $99. That's unbelievable. And so you got to offer those kinds of things. You got to reach out to people. And I think that's something we really made a big effort in trying to do.
You know, another thing that has been taken for granted, and I've thought this for years, is that we have to resume or start cultivating the really young fan.
Absolutely.
The young fan who gets the first impression.
Yep.
I always said when John Lotz was alive and he was doing some of the community service at the Smith Center, I said, for the soft games, when people didn't come to the basketball and some, sure, and some of the soft games in football, why not come up with some system where you bring some school kids in here?
Absolutely.
Right? You give them the tickets, you give them a hot dog, coupon, and a T-shirt. And then they're still going to make some money in the concessions, but you're going to fill the seats. The most important thing is you've now got a Carolina fan for life.
Right.
And that fan's going to end up growing up and buying his own ticket someday. Yep. I don't think we do enough of that at Carolina.
You know, and I think that's a good point, guys. And, you know, we started trying to do that for, we did that for the Duke game, and we also did that for the Old Dominion game with the Academic All-Star Program. We reached out to every elementary school in the state of North Carolina and rewarded some top students in those grades with two free tickets to the top students in those grades, and also with the opportunity for them to buy discounted tickets for their parents, grandparents, uncles, aunts, and whoever. And we got a great turnout. And again, Art, I think it goes back to your point, starting to get Carolina fans at an early age who will buy in, because season ticket holders are your lifeblood of your program. It doesn't matter what it is. And you need to have those loyal customers that support the program and continue to show the support. You need to have the fans that will travel to Charlotte to support your team in a bowl game. And that's how you get into better bowl games next year. I think we're going to have a great record next year. I think we're going to do really well. I believe in this coaching staff and these players. And when the bowl committee looks to see, you know, am I going to take a Virginia Tech or am I going to take a Carolina? You know, let me see how they did in selling their ticket allotment next year. You know, I want it to be the case where Carolina has done a really good job selling their ticket allotment. And that's going to be the thing that triggers us going to a better bowl game.
Well, Brian, how many?
Go ahead.
How blue do you expect the seat to be today?
I expect to be really blue, guys. I played in this game in 2004 for Coach Bunning, and we had a hell of a crowd.
Were you faked out on that field goal? I know you were an
offensive. I was not. I was an offensive lineman. I was not. But I was sucking water down, so I wasn't faked out on the field goal. But that was an unbelievable.
That was
play.
Your roommate. Who was faked out on that field goal?
Our defense was faked out. Well, Matt Ryan for my Atlanta Falcons was right. The backup quarterback who executed that fake field goal. So,
right.
You know, it's something where, you know, there are multiple avenues now where people can buy tickets. So I'm expecting a great crowd, Rand. I really am.
Brian, I've got a specific issue for you, Brian.
Sure.
And I posted a listening back in Chapel Hill in Orange County. This may be something they haven't thought about.
Sure.
This year, I was guest in the VIP section of two of our rivals. I was in Vaughn Towers for a game at State. I was at Deacon Towers for a game at Wake Forest.
Sure.
And I, within our own fan base, not counting what our rivals say, the blue zone being looking like it's empty. Very careful what I say here.
Yeah.
Looking like it's empty in the club seats, and people take shots at the wine and cheese fan base.
Sure.
Actually, they are there. But they're back behind the glass in the air conditioning and the buffet and whatnot. But
sure.
They're there. And
they're
cheering and they care. But the seats look empty. So here
sure.
goes the wine and cheese thing again.
Sure.
And yet every VIP section I've ever stayed in, they stay back in the air conditioning with the buffet lines.
There's no doubt about
so
it.
So it's you don't tell people who pay that kind of premium that they have to get out and go out. You don't shut down the buffet lines. You don't turn off the TVs.
No, I don't think you do any of that. But again, I'll tell those people that those having run the numbers and seen the numbers myself, those sections are full for every single home game.
In terms of the people that own the seats being there.
There's no doubt about it, ticket-wise. We have to turn people away that are asking for additional tickets that are leaseholders for those seats in the blue zone. We cannot tell them they can get additional tickets.
I heard a great idea from a guy that we all know, Moyer Smith. And, you know,
absolutely.
Moyer dealt
Coach
with this
Smith.
For years.
Yep.
He brought out that the end zone camera right now is set up on the Keenan Football Center showing down the other
right.
line. He says, why don't we put it on top of the blue zone and
switch
show
away.
It the other way so we don't constantly
expose
the empty club seats.
Well, what I can tell you guys is we have one of the best external relations marketer in Rick Steinbacher, and that's one of the things that he's looking to evaluate.
It's a little thing, but it would matter.
It's a little thing, but all those little things in a football program and trying to build a brand, all those things matter. And I know Rick and his team are really getting after
it
and looking at everything.
While he's at it, and we gotta take a break, but we appreciate you being here,
Jacobs. Absolutely.
One of the things that they ought to look at, too, is moving the TV camera to the north side of the stadium so you don't see, because the home side is filled up more consistently than the
sure.
visiting side. That's where you see all the aluminum.
Absolutely.
That really looks bad.
Right.
So,
Brian, thanks so much for joining us. Brian
absolutely,
with
guys.
Brian Chakos with the Rams Club. This is the Good Sports with Artsy and Bob Lee. We're live from the Belk Bowl in Charlotte at Bank of America Stadium. We're at the southwest
the best,
side
man.
Of
appreciate
Bank
it.
Of America Stadium. We'll be back with more of the Good Sports coming up.
This is Kit Ballew of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Sammy Martin. Kit, just 2 years ago, no one wanted to buy real estate, but that really changed in 2013. What happened?
Actually, a lot. The economy started growing. The stock market roared back. Rates remained low. Rents continued to climb, and people were simply less anxious. The buyers that were waiting for the bottom saw sales prices climbing, and they stepped up.
Kit, you are so smart. Inventory was really tight all year. Investors saw low rates and high rents, and they swept up a lot of property. Unusual competition for people looking to buy their own home. And buyers who did nothing in 2011 and 12 saw the writing on the wall.
It's going to be an interesting year. I'm telling buyers to get pre-qualified now by local mortgage brokers that I know and respect. Rates won't be low forever, and sellers need to start getting their home ready for the market now. Don't wait until March to start this process.
Kit Ballew, ladies and gentlemen. All business, all the time.
Oh, Sammy.
Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else?
We're back with the good sports with Art C. and Bob Lee at the Belk Bowl just outside of Bank of America Stadium. Hope you can stop by and see us if you're listening on your Chapelboro iPhone app. Please do. We are just to the side of the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Tower here, and I've got the police just to my left just in case things get a little crazy with Art C. and Bob Lee.
We always appreciate having police protection.
Definitely.
Yeah, and you need it. You need it.
No argument for me on that one.
You know, there's not much red here. There's mostly Carolina blue. That's what it seems like to me. So we might be safe there. Now, you guys mentioned it a little bit, Art Weiner. Earlier in the show, we talked about the passing and the memorable time of 2 o'clock today is when his memorial service will be in Greensboro. So, you know.
Well, he's just one of those names. And Art's always kidding about how old I am because I'm, what, 2 years older than you are. But that's 2 years of wisdom that I've gained that you didn't have.
Absolutely.
But Art Weiner, along with Choo Choo Justice, are just those two names from way back when in the late 40s. Weiner was the end who caught Choo Choo's passes, his jump passes out of the single wing. And I don't remember how many times he was All-American, 2 or 3 times, consensus All-American. He's in the Helms Football Hall of Fame. Back in the late 40s, he really was kind of the quintessential end in college football. And, of course, he'll always be linked with Charlie Choo Choo Justice.
Yeah, and, you know, he has some great numbers for somebody who played in an era where passing really wasn't prevalent. And, you know, the ball was harder to throw back then. But he had some great numbers, so it would have been exciting to play. He was part of multiple Sugar Bowl teams that the Tar Heels played in. Actually, the last time they played in what became an Alliance Bowl, now BCS Bowl and so forth. We're hoping the Tars can get back one day. Okay, other bowls that the Tar Heels played. Who'd we play in the 63 Gator Bowl? How'd we get there, and what was the final score?
Air Force Academy, we won. That was the Ken Willard, Eddie Kessler, Junior Edge, Chris Hamburger team. We won by beating Duke, and was that when Max Chapman kicks a 40-some-yard field goal, and Jim Hebner will correct me if I get the yardage wrong, but Max Chapman kicks a field goal straight ahead, the old-style kicker, and to beat Duke, we go to the Gator Bowl, which was a big deal because we hadn't been in 15 years, whatever, since the Carl Snavely era, and we beat the Air Force Academy.
You know, I think this is the truth, that we lose that game. I think Duke was going to the Gator Bowl.
Could be.
You know, that was the battle for the Gator Bowl. Okay, the Fog Bowl, who did we play? Well, and who was coaching the team we played?
Well, it would have been Crum coaching it, and we either played Michigan or Arkansas. Which one?
It was Arkansas, and who was coaching Arkansas?
Lou Holtz.
Lou Holtz.
And he had suspended. No, that was not the game where he suspended his two running backs.
No.
That was the Fog Bowl.
All right. The Fog Bowl, that was the Fog Bowl.
Yeah.
We're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay, Michigan. We played Michigan in what bowl, and who was the star quarterback for our team that year?
Would it have been Stan Cabbage?
No, it was Matt Kupek in 1979. We beat him on the last fourth quarter touchdown.
How about
pass.
When the Dooley brothers played each other?
Gator Bowl, 1972.
What was that, 10-3 or something? It was close, but
7-3.
They won.
It wasn't 3 yards on a cloud of dust. It was six yards on a cloud of dust. Someone's here taking our picture. It's amazing. They're going to have to airbrush you out.
And then
of
the
one.
First one was the Dooley era played in was the
The Frozen Peach Bowl.
Peach Bowl, right. In Bobby Dodd State, Grant Field, and we played Arizona State and Spaghetti Joe Spagnuolo, coached by Frank Cush.
Right.
We lost in a driving snowstorm in the second half.
Right, and then we talked about all the bowls.
These guys weren't even born then, Chance. Did you
amazing.
Realize that? We got Matt and Ran here and Anthony. They weren't even born when we were freezing our butts off at Grant Field.
Yeah, well, how about the Peach Bowl in Atlanta in the old Fulton County Stadium where we lost... We were down 20-0, and Crum kicked a field goal at the end so he could get on the scoreboard.
I'll tell you another game I remember, and I was out of the state at the time, but Bracy Walker blocking punts against Mississippi State.
That's Mac Brown's first bowl. That's Mac Brown's first bowl game. And Bracy Walker did. That was in the Georgia Dome. It was fantastic. All right, but how about the last?
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you coming. We just had Jeff Beaver walk up, and I see Battle Wall. We'll be talking to Jeff in Battle a little bit later.
All right. We're going to talk about the last three bowl games where we played in this stadium that we lost in the fourth quarter when we come back with our special guest on the Good Sports.
That's right. We've got the Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. We're live at the Belk Bowl in Charlotte, right outside of Bank of America Stadium. And we're going to talk with Jeff Beaver coming up next here on the Good Sports. Stay tuned.
Imagine a life free from cigarettes. Would you have more energy, more money, more breath? Renee can.
I really have a lot more freedom now without being chained to the cigarette.
Well, it takes practice to become tobacco free. At UNC Family Medicine, our tobacco treatment specialists coach you through the process. People like Renee who utilize our nicotine dependence program know how powerful support can be. Join the team by calling 966-0210 or visit uncfamilymedicine.org.
Listen up, Carolina fans. Go for the slam dunk this season into Fitch Lumber and Hardware. Don't foul out attempting the never-ending home projects. Whether you're an experienced contractor or a novice do-it-yourselfer, get the jobs done right the first time with the guidance of our knowledgeable staff with decades of experience passed down from generation to generation. Get the local home court advantage at Fitch Lumber and Hardware, 309 North Greensboro Street in Carrboro. Call us at 919-942-3153 or online at fitchlumber.com. Go Heels.
At Cruisers Convenience Marketplace Headquarters, we are thrilled to offer 6 cents off per gallon when you sign up and use the ExxonMobil Rewards Card, but we need to clarify a few misconceptions. Cruisers rewards you when you use the card, but cannot reward you for having a good hair day. Cruisers dispenses high-quality ExxonMobil gasoline. Your car's not able to say thank you, but it wants to. Cruisers does not support claims of ESP or any other 6 cents. And while you can pay at the pump, Cruisers may tempt you to come inside for our 79-cent fountain drinks and Beans Cafe coffee, both guaranteed to taste great. Save 6 cents per gallon when you sign the ExxonMobil Rewards Card. Cruisers. Good to go.
Welcome back to the Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. We're live at the Belk Bowl just outside of Bank of America Stadium for North Carolina and Cincinnati going head-to-head here today as Carolina returns to the postseason. And joining the Good Sports right now, we've got Jeff Beaver, a special guest. And Art, Bob, I'm going to let you take it away with Jeff.
Well, we're in Charlotte. We're at a Carolina event in Charlotte. What better than a true Charlotte-born and bred football legend from Carolina? The former Mustang for the Myers Park, Gus Purcell era in the late mid-60s, Jeff Beaver. Golly, it's good to see you, buddy.
Thanks. I'm really glad you mentioned Gus. You know, an ex-Carolina football player, if I'm not mistaken, played behind Choo Choo, if I'm not mistaken, a few years. He was my hero, along with my brother and a couple others. But, a true honor and pleasure for me to be able to do that.
Well, I spoke to another ACC quarterback yesterday who said to tell you hello, and he went to Gus's quarterback camp, a fellow by the name of Leo Hart. And Leo mentioned Randy Short, who was another Mustang, wasn't he?
He was, and played at Duke. And quite frankly, I may have been an instructor when Leo was there. I'm that old, so... Gus brought all the old quarterbacks in to help from the first 4 or 5 years there.
Jeff, we're in Charlotte for the Belk Bowl. You were on the Sports Commission in Charlotte for so long. You tried to get lots of events here. You got some events here, but not being in the role anymore, it's just as an observer walking around, it must be fun to see what's happened to this bowl and having the Tar Heels here.
Well, first and foremost, as a Charlottean, I'm really proud to see what has happened at our beautiful city, and particularly when it comes to sports. And the people that have put together the Belk Bowl and the ACC Championship and the other games that come here should have a lot to be proud of, and Charlotte's got a lot to be proud of. And my hope is we keep them, quite frankly.
Well, now, there was another event that you and I spoke about, e-spoke, about 4 or 5 years ago. And you know where I'm going with this, something that you and I both thought at the time should happen. And there was some administrative opposition to it, which has since been removed. And now the North-South, whatever we want to call it, border war between South Carolina and North Carolina is going to happen next year, I believe.
No, so 2015.
2015, okay.
Well, they're going to play here next year. It's the second year of a two-year commitment, if I'm not mistaken. We were going to call it the Carolina game, mm-hmm. You know, because they call themselves Carolina. We call ourselves Carolina and switch colors, I guess, on the logo every year. But I wish it had happened. It still probably could, but in my conversations with Will Webb and the powers that be, it's probably going to be more difficult now, not only because of schedules being made way ahead, but also because the SEC requires that each team play nine conference games. And unless we go to 14 games, it's going to be tough.
Well, we were talking with Brian Chakos in our ticket department earlier, and the issue of getting people in seats for football. College football is incredibly popular, never been any more popular, but getting them in seats rather than in their Barca loungers for games is the issue. When you take a North Carolina, South Carolina, and create a I-want-to-be-there rivalry, that's going to sell tickets. That's going to put warm bodies in seats. And I think maybe those issues versus playing Middle Tennessee and Keenan Stadium might make dollar sense to the Bubba Cunninghams and Ray Tanners of the world.
That wouldn't surprise me. The conversations I had a while back with John Bunning and with Dickie Bedore and the powers that were in place then, we talked about those things. And I even said, for the Carolina, because the North Carolina problem was that they thought they couldn't get enough, that the people from Eastern North Carolina would be upset every other year. And and I said, you know, by not being able to go to Chapel Hill, I said, you know what? And South Carolina couldn't get as much money. I said, we can make the money work. As far as the Eastern North Carolina folks, I'll go to bat. And I did a personal campaign to about 20 guys, and every one of them said yes, they'd love it.
Well, you know, when you brought the two NC State Carolina games down here, the beautiful Saturday afternoon game that the Tar Heels won in overtime with a pass to Nay Brown, and then the following year where
goal line Bomar,
David Bomar. Carolina was having a bad season. But at least that Saturday game, you proved everybody wrong. People came from all over to go to that game, and it was beautiful. One half of the stadium was red, one was blue.
And I think had we started this Carolina game idea earlier, by now people would be making that first thing on their schedule. And, you know, do like some of the other national rivalries everybody's aware of. Play them early. Play them right off the bat and make it happen, and nobody's got an excuse then.
Well, was it true that you really wanted to rival the Florida-Georgia game in Jacksonville and call it the biggest cocktail party?
Exactly. And, you know, we could have had the biggest a beer party or something like that. I don't know. You know, Battle Walls getting ready to pick up the microphone. I talked to our good friend Gail Bomar, who you just mentioned, and he said to be sure to remind Battle about the tactic he pulled to win to get out of spring practice 1 year. But I'll let him explain that to you.
I want to ask you a couple of questions. Then we're going to hit Battle. Give him a little bit. He needs a little bit more time to think about his answers.
Right.
And you're a former Moorhead, so you're quick on this stuff. Now, you and I met in 65. A lot of talk now about this team now and the transition they've had with the different coaches and all the scandals we're aware of. You and Battle, and again, Battle will speak for himself, also were at Carolina when circumstances were not the way you thought they were going to be when you came down as a freshman, all full of dreams and whatnot. Things happened. Jim Hickey left. Bill Dooley came. I always say that was when Carolina football went from being student athletes to being athlete students. And you were a Moorhead Scholar, am I correct?
Yes, sir. I was lucky enough to have
it. So you came to school with things beyond football on you. I think you were also in a fraternity.
I was.
So you really you participate in the full student experience at Chapel Hill in addition to playing football. That doesn't happen anymore.
Well, that's unfortunate. My mom and dad I was fortunate enough to have parents who stressed the total experience to me. My daddy played at Wake Forest, and he was in a fraternity back in the 30s. And he told me, he said, Jeff, I want you to have fun, but I want you to guess what comes first, and it was studies. And I see our program maybe heading back that way, and not that we ever lost it, but
we had Lee Pace on early, and I asked him this trivia question. We don't have a lot of Morehead scholars playing football anymore because it's too much of a strain to do both. Are you aware we have a Morehead scholar on this year's roster?
No, I was not aware of that.
A kid from Montreal, Canada, a defensive lineman named Alan Champlain.
Love the name.
Yeah, who curses across the line of scrimmage in French.
Yeah. I will give credit to Mike Buzimski for giving me that bit of trivia last night. But there haven't been more than four or five at most since you that were Moreheads. Swofford, of course. We remember John Swofford.
Oh, yeah.
Then it really, we had Rusty Clark playing basketball when you were there in battle. But really, there haven't been many high academic, high athletes playing football, and that's just the nature of the seriousness of the sport.
Well, I'm flattered you put me in that category, but yes, it was a great experience, and I'll never forget talking to Coach Hickey about the possibility of playing football as a Morehead, and he said, and I'm thinking this is what's going through his mind. He said, "Oh, so they'll give us another scholarship, won't it?" So it was a no-brainer.
Okay, now didn't they change the rule though that a Morehead counts as a grant in aid?
That's
because
right.
People, our rivals were complaining that gave us extra scholarships.
It didn't.
Battle, what
didn't
are you? You don't have anything to do with this, Battle. We're talking about Morehead scholars.
I have nothing. Absolutely nothing to say.
We'll get
that.
You in a minute.
Yeah, right, we got to come back
before.
We take a break.
Before we bring Battle Wall in, we're going to take a break because on the other side we've got Mike Crum who's going to speak with us. He's the officer and vice president of business development at the Charlotte Regional Visitors Authority, one of the movers and shakers of bringing football here. A big thanks to Jeff Beaver. Thank you for stopping by. Thanks for being on the Good Sports with us. Great to hear from you. And go Heels today, of course. This is the Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. We are live at the Belk Bowl just outside of Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte. And we'll be back with the Good Sports. Coming up next, we'll hear from Mike Crum and talk about what it takes to bring Carolina here, what it takes to bring the Belk Bowl to Bank of America Stadium. That's next.
Having a nice lawn is not impossible.
Our mission at Landscape Logic is to help you discover the possibilities for your landscape. We'll evaluate your landscape, prioritize your needs so that you can make a decision based on practicality or economics. We are qualified and committed to giving you the direction and care you need to create a finished and kept look for your landscape.
Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to visit LandscapeLogicNC.com. Landscape Logic, the logical choice for all your landscape needs.
Because Wendy switched to Geico and saved hundreds of dollars on car insurance, her vacation savings jar wants to pat her on the back, but can't. It's a vacation savings jar. It doesn't have a palm to pat with. Even if it tried, it'd just spill change everywhere and make a mess. Switch to Geico, and every time you see the extra cash, you'll know your vacation savings jar wants to pat you on the back. But remember, it can't. It's a jar. It is, however, happy that you're saving money.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
The flagship station for Carolina sports. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
We're back with the Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee here at the Belk Bowl, just outside of Bank of America Stadium, where all the action is set to get underway in, 2 hours and 20 minutes. I can't do math either, but just about to get going here. So we are joined now by the Officer and Vice President of Business Development at Charlotte Regional Visitors Authority, or CRVA, Mike Crum. Mike, thanks so much for joining us here on the show. Glad to have you on the Good Sports.
Grand, welcome to Charlotte.
Thank you very much. Art and Bob, I'm sure lots of questions for the man here, but what does it take to get the Belk Bowl at Bank of America Stadium in downtown Charlotte?
Well, it's a community effort, and it starts with great partners, with our friends with Belk, who have made a huge commitment to supporting the game here in Charlotte. It takes the partnership that we have with the Carolina Panthers to provide the stadium. It takes a commitment from our corporate community to support the Charlotte Sports Foundation, which is the entity that promotes the game here in the community. And then finally, it takes all 57,000 of our hospitality industry employees to show our visitors to the community a great time this weekend.
All right, now, Mike, I've got a question for you. Now, I got to tell you, before I became an internet legend 20 years ago, I spent 20 years in the hotel and convention bureau business. I can spell economic impact, and I know the magic voodoo that you people use. When in doubt, add extra zeros on the number until you impress the city council and they agree to whatever you want. I get that. Now, and we asked this question to Paul Houlihan. I don't know if you know Paul or not. He's the executive director of the Sugar Bowl. When the Sugar Bowl has LSU as a team, they sell out anyway because it's a Sugar Bowl. But I said, but you don't sell hotel rooms because everyone just comes down from Baton Rouge and all around. So do your hotel people like it? And he had a fascinating answer to that. And you'll remember this, don't you, Art? He said, the LSU people know they're going to party on Bourbon Street, and they want a hotel room so they don't have to drive back, drop pie-eyed and drunk and knee-walk back to Baton Rouge. When you have Carolina come, and most of our fans come from a two-hour, three-hour array. Is that as good for you as, say, a Virginia? We won't even get into Pitt and Syracuse and stuff, but a Virginia. Clemson, of course, would be like us. All their fans drive here. How does that affect you having to explain to your hospitality industry why the hotel rooms didn't fill up?
Well, I think the first thing is that you have to take a long view in terms of what the game is and what impact it's going to bring to the community, because some years you're going to get a matchup that fills the stadium and fills your hotel rooms. In other years, you're going to fall short of that goal. So first thing, take the long view.
Now, Will behind us, and we'll talk to Will, he wants to fill the stadium. You're interested in filling hotel rooms and restaurants.
Right, and I think what we found is if we can fill the stadium, then that's going to take care of our hospitality industry. So if we can drive ticket sales, we're going to get those folks who want to come in, even if the game starts in the afternoon, do an overnight stay. They're going to leave money in restaurants and bars and gas stations and in retail. And, you know, we just don't have to have a hotel room night in order for economic impact to be created in our community.
Mike, about the game time, do you have any say in the game time? Can you lobby the network about when the game starts?
Well, we work in partnership with the network on that, and so they have certain things they're trying to accomplish with their schedule, and so I know that Will every year gets into an extended conversation about when we're going to play, what day of the week we're going to play, and you know, today this is a good time for us. And so we're pleased with the result.
Mike, I want you to stay in the conversation. I want to bring in Will Webb now. Will Webb is the executive director at Charlotte Collegiate Football. Of course, a big mover and shaker with the ACC Championship game and the Belk Bowl. So, Will, thank you so much for joining us as well. Just talking about the fact that you want to see this stadium full each and every Belk Bowl, I'm sure.
We love to see it full every game we do, and we just do the best we can. And we've got a good crowd on hand today. I hope some of them who don't have tickets end up deciding to stay and see a good football game.
Good sports. Take it away with Will Webb and Mike.
All right, I get to ask all the tough questions because I'm the big guy. In what we do, we're always kidding about some of the bowl games that are real obscure. Let's take a shot at our East Carolina people playing in what the heck is a Beef O'Brady game, okay? But Beef O'Brady in the Tampa area is a well-known restaurant franchise, I guess like Hooters or whatever, or Outback or whatever. Belk, we all know that, who've grown up in Eastern North Carolina, the number one regional department store. But if I'm a college football fan in Wichita, Kansas, what the heck is a Belk Bowl?
That's exactly what Belk wants them to say. And they go online, they find out what Belk is. Belk has published this number that 3 years ago, the first Belk Bowl sales at Belk.com doubled. And
you like that, don't you, Mike?
Well, we like that because those types of analytics make Belk happy.
Okay.
And it makes Belk happy. They were ecstatic. We just renewed a six-year deal with them. The bowl is moving up in the world. We'll be in the SEC next year, an enhanced ACC pick. Belk's happy. SEC's happy. Charlotte's happy. We're all win.
All right.
Well, Will, it was a good time because the Belk family and the Belk organization itself was going through a transition, and it was a good time for them to get involved in a high-profile event like that. Was it just great timing that you could bring them on?
It was good timing. They were going through a complete rebranding. This was the first national media deal they'd ever done. And I think you'll see some big news coming out of Belk and college football in the future. This has worked for them. They have been an incredible title sponsor for us. bringing in Blake Shelton. We've got another big act next year we'll be bringing in. They've helped us. I heard y'all talk about the date. We had such a successful year last year. 3:30 on Saturday prime time is a great spot. So we're happy with this. We're looking forward to a good future.
All right, now we've had our mutual friend John Swofford on a few weeks ago, and we've had Paul Houlihan on too, and you know both John and Paul. Paul does what you do down in New Orleans. With Johnny expanding the ACC conference, now when you get Carolina or you get State or you get even Virginia or Clemson, you know you're going to get a whole lot of their fans because it's an easy trip for them. What about the year that you end up with Syracuse or Pitt?
Well, number one, we'd welcome that. Number two, in the future, the ACC is going to a geographic allocation of bowls. They've got a pool next year at number two. They've got the Pinstripe Bowl in New York City. They've got us. 3 years, they've got the Gator Bowl. 3 years, Music City Bowl. And 6 years, El Paso. So any of the schools we'd welcome. But Louisville, Virginia, Virginia Tech, Wake Forest, Carolina, State, Duke, Wake, Clemson would all do well here. So poised at number two with that selection and the geographic fit, we're very excited about what the future holds.
And a perfect competing conference in the SEC because they're very much in the same position.
They're very much in the same position, and we're pooled at number two in the SEC as well.
So the formula that we're all used to as fans is gone this year.
It's gone. Everybody finally got smart and realized that, you know, like last year the SEC had eight teams with 10 wins or more. And one of those got passed over, the number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So they said, let's pool them. You got somebody in Florida is going to be 10 wins. Somebody in South Carolina or Georgia or Tennessee is going to be 10 wins. Somebody in Arkansas, Texas, Mississippi is going to be 10 wins. And let's slot all those in at number two.
The fact that you have a pro stadium, and for a college kid to play in a pro stadium, particularly when the pro team is doing real well like the Panthers are this year, that's got to be a big eye-popping, wow, we played in Bank of America Stadium.
Charlotte has a fabulous stadium. We've got maybe the best logistics of any city because all these fans can walk to this stadium, which they can't do at most of the stadiums. We've got all the attractions downtown, the NASCAR Hall of Fame, Epicenter, great restaurants, bars, everything they need. Short drive from most of these schools. If not, they can fly in. There are flights here every day from every SEC school, every ACC school. So the future is rosy for us. We're very excited about where we are.
And, Mike, too, a big thing, the NASCAR, I heard a lot of the players and coaches were really excited about being able to take on NASCAR and go around the track a little bit, too. That was a big part of all this.
Yeah, we have an iconic attraction in our center city called the NASCAR Hall of Fame. Will and his team have been kind enough to utilize the Hall of Fame for the past couple of years. And, Will, I think it's been a big hit. The Cincinnati kids have been there twice now, and the kids from Carolina. They've had a big time this week.
I'll be honest, a year ago when we first thought about doing that, I had a little trepidation. But last year, each team was in there for 2 hours, and we had to chase them out at the end. This year, we enhanced it. A little bit more food, a little bit better food. The players came. They stayed. They love the rides. They love all the interactives. And I've been amazed watching these kids who I didn't think had any connection all of a sudden start to build a bridge to NASCAR.
Well, I talked with Dan Hoard, the play-by-play voice for the Cincinnati Bearcats, and he said, and I was telling him and joking with him that it's got to take a lot to scare a collegiate football player to strike fear into their eyes and into their minds. But I imagine whipping around a NASCAR course at 160 miles per hour, was it? That probably does it.
That does it. I think it was the New York Times several years ago highlighted that event as one of the best bowl events in the country. It's so different. And the players look forward to it. They look forward to then going to the Hall of Fame, learning about more of it. It's been a big success for us.
Did they get to meet Danica Patrick?
They did not. They got to meet Mike Crum.
All right, you two guys obviously work together on this event because you have similar interests. Which one of you was responsible for today's wonderful weather?
Mike.
Okay.
Because that way next year when it's bad, I'm going to blame him.
CRBA will take credit for that one.
Let me ask you a question off the grid here. Major League Baseball, will it ever come to Charlotte?
Well, ever is a long, long time. I don't think that we'll see it in the next 10 to 15 years. I don't know that Charlotte's got the density and the population. But we've got a fabulous new baseball park right here that will, for 10 or 15 years, serve us very well. If Charlotte, I mean, everywhere I go, I see it's building. There's apartments and condos and houses. 10 or 15 years from now, we might get professional baseball.
And it's also MLB's reluctance to expand at this particular time. I mean,
well, this is a tough time to be expanding, but we've got a very successful pro football team here. The Bobcats, soon to be the Hornets, are making some strides forward, having a great year. We've got a lot of very positive things happening in Charlotte.
Well, obviously, anybody who's followed local regional sports politics in the last few years know you had a real discussion over the upfitting of the stadium.
Right.
And that happened the same year that the Panthers come back big and strong. Who was responsible for that combination of we love the Panthers now, Ron Rivera for Coach of the Year? By the way, folks, we're going to add a couple of pennies onto your sales tax.
Same guy that's responsible for the weather.
All right, Mike Crum.
Mike, you have done a wonderful job there.
And we can't leave without saying, you know, talk about how Mike Crum came to North Carolina. You know, he grew
that's
up.
That's right.
Yeah, his dad is Dick Crum, who still is the winningest football coach in UNC history. And all Carolina fans want to give a big shout-out to Dick and Shirley and send our best
were
regards.
Were you at the Fog Bowl?
I was.
Did you see the Fog Bowl?
Standing there on the sideline, the ball disappeared up into the fog for me just like
and who was Arkansas's coach?
A guy named Lou Holtz.
All right. Mike Crum is the officer and vice president of the business development at Charlotte Regional Visitors Authority, and Will Webb, the executive director at Charlotte Collegiate Football. Gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us. I know it's a busy day, but we really appreciate you being on today.
Thanks for being here.
All right. Thank you. Welcome, Charlotte.
Once again, the guys making it happen for the Belk Bowl. We're going to take a break, come back with more of the good sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. We are live at the Belk Bowl. It's Bank of America Stadium, and we're just outside of Bank of America Stadium. We've got Battle Wall coming up as well. Another great interview coming up next. Stay tuned on the good sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
AT&T asks, are you that guy? That guy who not only paints his face to cheer on his team, but then paints his entire torso? Well, you don't have to be that guy to prove your fanhood. Switch to AT&T and follow your favorite team like never before. It's much better than perusing the hardware store for this season's color palette of belly paints. You have the speed to get scores, stats, and highlights fast with AT&T. Rethink possible.
Visit att.com or store for details.
One in five Americans will develop skin cancer in their lifetime. Central Dermatology Center treats cancers where it is important to conserve tissue and high-risk areas such as the ears, face, hands, and feet. Mohs micrographic surgery is a highly effective technique and can be covered by most insurances, including Medicare and TRICARE. Dr. Beth Goldstein has been specializing in Mohs surgery since 2008. If you're concerned about a non-healing spot or a changing mole, make an appointment at Central Dermatology Center. Find out more at centralderm.net.
It's the Belk Bowl, and we are live with the good sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. We are just outside the southwest end of Bank of America Stadium. We are here at FanFest, and I'll tell you, we've got probably about 20 minutes left until you can no longer hear anything else because Blake Shelton is about to get up on the FanFest stage and blow everybody out of here. Even the Charlotte-Mecklenburg police are packing up. They said, that's it, can't do it anymore. But right now, we are joined, Art C. and Bob Lee here, of course, and we've got Battle Wall, just some great guests here on the Good Sports to close out the season.
Jay Leno has nothing on us. We have the best guest in media.
You said it.
Now, this guy.
The best connected man in radio.
Absolutely.
Bob
this guy is unbelievable. Whenever Carolina football fans get together, this guy's name eventually comes up. He's a myth. He's a legend. They're not even sure he exists. They thought we made up the name. I've known this guy since he was the king of Anson County with the Wadesboro Tigers. So the name Battle Wall, I've always known Battle Wall. I knew his dad. All right. Tell us the history of the name. How Battle Wall came to be.
Well, the battle name obviously is a UNC Chapel Hill name. Kemp Plummer Battle was the first president of the university after the Civil War Reconstruction, and he was a great uncle of mine. And then I believe the founder of the law school was William Horn Battle. So the battle name comes from there, and Eastern North Carolina, Battleboro.
Okay.
And
you're a junior, right?
I'm a third.
You're a third, okay.
Yeah. And so one of the battles moved to Anson County and married a wall. And that's the battle wall connection. That's when the name was created. So I'm the third, and I have a son. His name's Battle. A grandson. His name's Battle. But
and
I stopped
your, and
at
your
the
high
third.
School football coach loved the name so much, he named his first son Battle. That's that, Ed Emery, the late Ed Emery.
That was
Battle
a real,
Emery.
Real honor. He had a fine, fine young man, Battle Emery, and a wonderful daughter, Lucille.
Well, I remember the great names. Battle Wall, of course, is ours, and Wake Forest had a fullback back in the Brian Piccolo days named Joe Bonecutter. So Joe Bonecutter and Battle Wall, and nobody else come. Everybody else finishes second.
Linebacker Steve Stonebreaker.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Battle, tell us, give us a percentage of the stories about you, percentage of them that are really true.
And Marion Barnes is listening, by the way.
You know, these things get built up, like Jeff's introduction to he and Beaumont. What do quarterbacks know? You know, so, I mean, I'm just going to dismiss that and not even go there, okay?
Oh, my goodness. Well,
there's some interesting stories, and I was a bit of a character, but I survived it along with a lot of other great teammates.
You also came in during the transition era from Jim Hickey to Bill Dooley, and there are different philosophies that different coaches have when they take over a program with a long-term contract. A lot of people think that Dooley ran off a lot of guys on that team. What was your experience going through that transition?
Well, I might step back just a minute and say that, you know, when you go from high school football into college at that level, it's like going to Mars. I mean, it's huge. And then when you, a year or two later, you're faced with a transition like we were faced when Bill Dooley came in. Was something that no player really looked forward to at that point in time. It was difficult at best. The system back then was you have a three-year grace period, bring your players in, and then you go forward. Some players made it during the transition, and I was one of those, and Jeffrey was one of those. There were a lot of great players that are lost during that type of a situation. But you remain friends with those that you played with, and so even some of the ones that moved on, they're still very close friends of mine today.
Well, Bill Dooley obviously had the rap that he was coming in from the Georgia program as a Southeastern Conference coach with that mentality. Talk about Jim Hickey a little bit and what kind of a coach he was and the difference between the two.
Jim Hickey was just a gentleman from every way you could possibly describe him. Bit aloof and distant. He was truly more of a head coach, delegated fully to his assistants, and that may have been a shortcoming, but you didn't see as much of him as you did of Coach Dooley. Coach Dooley's right there in the trenches with you, you know, banging you around. I mean, he was a very hands-on coach, so the contrast was quite remarkably different between the two.
And you know, Bob Lee, if things hadn't turned out the way they did, these guys would have ended up playing for who? You know?
No.
The coach who died from Rocky Mountain Spotted Fever, you know?
Oh, Jim Tatum. Jim, oh, yeah.
So Jim that, Tatum.
Now,
yeah.
I got a question. We didn't ask Jeff this. He can chime in over there in the peanut gallery if he wants to. Larry Fedora has tinkered around with the uniforms. And he's made black one of the primary colors, and he says because that's to attract 17-year-old recruits. So, guys, if the Carolina uniform back in 1964 had black as a primary color, would that have attracted you to Chapel Hill even quicker?
Probably wouldn't have been in Chapel Hill.
What did? Now, when you grow up, you're growing up in Wadesboro, and you do have a connection to UNC. So Were you just, you were going to come to Carolina anyway, and as soon as Carolina offered you a grant and aid, you grabbed it right then? Or were you being recruited by East Carolina like your buddy Wayne Lineberry? Or how did you end up signing with Carolina?
Actually, I was looking at a lot of different schools and really had not made up my mind on North Carolina until my grandmother, Wall, sat me down and explained it to me that really that's where I was going to school, and there was no question about it at that point. But I think she saw me kind of getting enamored with Clemson and a few other schools, and she had a little discussion with me, and it was a good one. I always had a lot of respect for her.
If I remember correctly, we won't get into the story, there have been several instances where someone in your family has a discussion with you and causes you to take certain actions. And everybody, we've got a group called the Junction Boys, and Battle referred to them earlier. It's the people who did stay to this transition from Hickey to Dooley and have become very close over the 40 years since then because of that shared experience, kind of like a combat experience in Vietnam or Normandy or something, not to equate the two, but where you share.
But you are. Yeah.
But I did equate the two. Where that group of Junction Boys have stayed very close, and I notified them all yesterday that the two of you would be on today, and they're all streaming wherever they are. I think Lanny Blank down in Costa Rica is on his computer right now listening to us, and we say hello to him, and they all wanted to wish you guys the best. We told them no, we do not do a call-in show, so they couldn't call in asking embarrassing questions.
Thank goodness.
But that experience, even though you didn't go to bowl games, you don't have rings, you're those guys that you were in school with who's on Navy field, swear you're on Navy field, and Jeff, you can nod affirmative, though, you got a mic now. That you couldn't be any closer to those guys. You and Bud Phillips and the other guys that you were with, that bond of football is a permanent one.
I was the old man of that year. I was the red shirt that year, so my senior year. So I was the old man. I was actually married to my wonderful wife, and I do have one thing to refer to, though. You talk about black and the colors, and some of the traditions. I'm very proud of this ring I got for Christmas. It's made by my five and a half year old granddaughter. It's my Carolina ring. It's got Carolina blue, white, and black. And of course, this is my Carolina Tar Heels, Carolina Panthers ring. So,
oh, okay.
The black means something from time to time.
All right. Now, both of you have made your living in Charlotte, but you've had a very successful business. Did being a Carolina football player, Jeff was a quarterback and at Myers Park, and you had the memorable name. Has being a Carolina football player helped you in business in Charlotte Battle?
Early along, it was a help. I started out in New York, very shortly came back to Charlotte, and spent a number of years in the Southeast working, and the North Carolina connection was definitely a plus. I mean, it certainly would get a door open for you, but you had to go from there, but very advantageous. And then later in my career, of course, I spent most of my time outside of Charlotte, and there the name was always an interesting point. No one ever believed it. I had to spell it so many times you couldn't imagine.
People thought it was a nickname.
Yeah.
You got picked up somewhere, right?
What?
Well, speaking of names, go through life having to say Beaver, like the animal.
Yeah.
That's, when I introduce myself, that's exactly what I say.
All right, Battle Wall and Jeff Beaver joining us here on the Good Sports. Guys, thank you very much for joining us. This is the Good Sports for the Belk Bowl. We are getting ready to kick things off at Bank of America Stadium coming up in just a little while. We're going to take a break right now, come back with more of the Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee coming up next live from just outside Bank of America Stadium.
Well, ring-a-ding-ding, the year was 1936, and Leo and Lillian Goodwin were hot to trot for the world to save some big bucks on automotive insurance. So they opened up a little joint called Geico. Geico had the goods for all the dolls and Joes who were keen on swell service and keeping the cabbage.
Flash forward over 75 years, and Geico is still helping customers save money every day and with 97% customer satisfaction. Today, the peeps would refer to that as pretty darn tight.
Geico, saving people money for over 75 years.
Will you be our neighbor? If you or someone you know is moving or building a home in Chapel Hill, Harrington Bank is your first stop in financing your new dream home. Harrington Bank offers competitive rates and products for construction loans, renovation loans, home equity loans, and refinancing options. Let's be neighbors and give us a call today. Harrington Bank is conveniently located at Southern Village, Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, and the intersection of Highway 54 and 40. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
Remember the last time you had the flu? Headache, body ache, chills, fever, stuffy nose? Remember how awful you felt? The best way to prevent the flu is by getting a flu vaccine. UNC Family Medicine is here to help protect you and your family from the flu. After all, who wants to feel sick? Call us at 919-966-0210 or visit us at uncfamilymedicine.org. Just another way that UNC Family Medicine is caring for the course of your life.
Back Thanks again to Jeff Beaver and Battle Wall joining us here on the Good Sports with Art C and Bob Lee. This is the Belk Bowl. We are, what's the time now even? Just 2 hours away now from kickoff of the Belk Bowl. Cincinnati and UNC here in Charlotte, North Carolina, Bank of America Stadium. And guys, we're wrapping up the season now. It's the end of Carolina football today. By sundown, we'll just be about to the end of the season for 2013. And really a story of two seasons, as we've been talking about. It was the season of 1-5 and the season of 5-1, of course, trying to make it 6-1 to close things out and trying to not end on first a two-game losing streak, but also a two-game losing streak that includes a loss to Duke. I'm sure that would be a big point. You can't erase the Duke loss, but to end on a winning game, at least, was probably a big thing.
I've never held back that I'm a big Fedora fan, a Larry Fedora fan. I'm a Fedorian. And I think what he did this year with coming back, and we talked about early in the year with around East Carolina and stuff, how he had lost all his upperclassmen now. And now his upperclassmen were those 3 years of take what you can get recruiting situation. So he really was caught, even though last year was so good because a lot of those guys like Johnson Cooper and Gio stayed and gave him a good, strong base to play last year with. Well, they're all gone now. So what he was left with, what we recruited in those 2 years when we were under a real dark cloud. Well, now they're gone. That he rallied this team when they lose their top player. If you'd asked at the beginning in August, who's the one player you don't want to lose, we'd all said Bren Runner. So he loses him and still, you know, has that second season search, which my pal here predicted. We all remember when we were 1-5, and Chansky says we're going to run the table.
That's right. Almost. He didn't predict it perfectly, I got to say.
Well,
got to call you out on that.
We should have, but.
You know. Okay.
Let me say this. You know, we've talked a lot about what's been going on. The dark cloud, the great unpleasantness, as you've talked about it. Not only has it not lifted completely, it's spread out into other sports, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We're right now trying to...
You're not going to use those two initials, are you, Art?
No, we're trying to put a capper on 2013 with the hope that now that PJ is going to the D-League and Roy's got a pretty good ball club and so forth. But there's a little controversy in the Carolina football program right now. Blake Anderson is leaving to become the head coach at Arkansas State. Will young, good-looking, good recruiter Walt Bell go with him, or will he be offered the offensive coordinator's job here? Larry Fedora's, you know, he's pretty much the offensive coordinator because he's built his offense and he's running. But what we want to do is, and I don't know whether Walt Bell should stay or he shouldn't stay, but if you want to be here, you should be here if you want to be here, right? Because we're moving into 2014, and I'm counting on everything that's happened since the summer of 2010 to be in our rearview mirror and moving ahead, because like you said, he did a great job this year with freshmen who started to emerge, especially on defense later in the year, and names that you didn't hear of earlier. They were practicing hard as hell, but they were starting to do things on the field. That's the core of this football team moving forward.
Okay,
tough schedule next year, but what we need to do is we need to move into 2014 with all of this stuff behind
us. I'm going to reveal the ultimate conspiracy that everyone's been talking about for the last 3 or 4 months here. We can reveal it now, right before Blake fires up here. Back in August, we were all worried about Larry Fedora going to Texas.
Right.
Whatever was going to happen to Mac, and of course, Mac had his season, and that Delos Dodd would call Bubba and say, I want to talk to Larry, and here's $5 million, and he's gone. Well, there was all a plan that he would go 1-5. So DeLoss said, I can't touch him now. He's not the magic name that my people want. So, Bubba, you get to keep him for 10 more years. And it was all a plan. And I'm sorry we had to lose to East Carolina. And I know that was tough on our fans. But it enabled us to keep Larry Fedora for another 5 to 10 years. Matt, you agree that that's a good idea, wasn't it? You were part of that conspiracy, weren't you?
Of Bob Lee,
of Larry having the rough part of the season so that Texas wouldn't come get him now.
Oh, yeah,
that was Matt Oakes was agreeing with me.
Let me sum up by saying that you are out of your mind. You are absolutely.
I can't see that ever being a true plan of any team.
No, exactly. Now, Texas still doesn't have a coach.
Right.
So don't put the great voodoo on us now that they're going to be calling now, because you know what? In the world of college football and the coaching carousel, All the big jobs are filled. All the big names have taken those big jobs.
But whoever Texas gets is going to cause dominoes down the line.
Well, Texas is going to hire Major Applewhite before it's over.
Unless they get John Gruden.
Yeah, no, they're going to hire Major Applewhite before it's over. But they have to start talking to big names first. And then
you know, I always kid about search committees. And when Wake Forest hired their Dave, by the way, everybody in North Carolina is named Dave now, except for us in Ruffin. You got Woofy Dave, you got Duke Dave, and you got Deacon Dave now. But so us in East Carolina are the only two that have coaches and not named Dave.
All right, so tell me this. We're taking a look back at 2013. As a whole, we've kind of recapped it. What happens if Carolina beats Miami on Zero Dark Thursday in Chapel Hill? How different is this season had that happened?
Well, you know, we talked to Lee Pace about how different is it if we beat Duke on November 30th.
Yep.
We're probably in Atlanta, and I don't know where Duke is. You know, it was funny how Gary Stokan, people at the Peach Bowl, and everybody was saying Duke was always in the Peach Bowl. Well, Duke wasn't always in the Peach Bowl. They were in whatever bowl Miami's in now until John Swofford spent literally the entire day on Sunday of bowl selection lobbying to make that switch. Duke is better off in Atlanta because they'll draw more people to Atlanta. Miami, who draws nobody, is better off playing in their home state anyway. So who knows what would have happened and where we would have been had we beaten Miami on Zero Dark Thursday or beaten Duke on November 30th.
It still would have been here, though, right? Because we would have been here for the ACC championship.
Yeah, I got a couple of questions for you guys. You guys are both, you know, fanatical fans following this stuff. Project ahead 5 years into the ACC from now. Who are going to be the power teams, the top three power teams in the new 14-member plus Notre Dame, whatever?
You're assuming everybody's staying in the ACC?
I'm not assuming anything. No, I'm not assuming anything. So Charlie Strong will be coaching the New England Patriots in 5 years. Okay. But project ahead. Who are going to be the three power programs in the giant ACC in 5 years?
Well,
Arthur?
I think Florida State, if Jimbo doesn't go to Texas, he's going to be one of the names that they approach after the championship game. If he doesn't go to Texas, Florida State is almost back to where it was in Bowden's heyday. So I think for sure. Clemson, I don't think so. I think Dabo's days are numbered.
Okay.
A lot of people are down on Dabo. He's lost to South Carolina 5 years in a row, and he got killed at home by Florida State this year.
All right, so Dabo goes and they promote Chad Morris there.
All right, whatever. Okay, so if Larry Fedora stays here, the way that guy can recruit and the way that guy can coach and the product he puts on the field,
What's going to happen for the next 5 years in Blacksburg? What's going to happen to Beamer Ball? Is he going to be 3 years gone in 5 years?
Yeah, I think Frank is coming to the end of his run there.
Okay.
But, you know, they've got tradition, and they will hire somebody who will keep that program maybe not on the exact.
How does that compare to the Texas filling? I mean, it's not quite on the scale, but you're still filling a name of Frank Beamer. You're still filling a... You know, it's not the money of Texas, you know, football, but you're still filling a pretty big spot there.
Well, you know, the coaches being recycled is becoming a thing of the past. I think with Gus Malzahn and people, coaches like that who are reluctant to be hired 1 year, come back the next year and turn the entire program around, I think they're looking for young, hot shots who have proved themselves on some level, but it's a gut feeling by the athletic director, I'm telling you. If nobody wants to go to Texas, Major Applewhite ends up as a coach there because he's got the pedigree of Texas football. I like Miami's chances as long as Al, Mike, Golden, London, whatever you think the coach's name down there is, if he stays down there because they're recruiting, they're starting to recruit.
And he seems like he might be staying there. He's turned down some offers and he's stayed to build it. And he kind of... Something I get from him that he just might like living there and building a program in his own legacy.
Well, he went through two self-imposed bowl years.
Yep.
You know, Miami got off. They really got off from the NCAA. And obviously that had to do with what Miami had on the NCAA and how they conducted their investigation. Frank Haith, who's in the record, it's in the record that Frank Haith gave a recruit $10,000, got five games. Bruce Pearl, who lied to the NCAA about having a recruit, got a 3-year show cause. So I think Miami got out great, and
here's one. Rand, feel free to jump in here. Over the next 5 years, how many games, wins per year, is Duke going to average over the next 5 years?
Over the next 5 years, how many wins will Duke average? I'm going to give you 7.5.
Okay, I agree. I agree. They're going to be a good, solid team because he's not going anywhere.
Right, he's not going anywhere.
He'll replace this offensive coordinator because everybody wants to coach under him and learn from Cutcliffe like this guy did that's going to Florida. So I think Duke is a good, solid 5, 6, 7, maybe 8. They're not going to win 10 every year. No, too many balls bounce right.
How many more years does Peyton Manning take a trip to Durham, North Carolina?
Anytime Dave calls him. They don't want Eli right now. Eli's kind of damaged goods right now.
Well, look, you know, here's the thing about Duke. They really have got a nice program now. They don't have a lot of NFL players, but they have smart players. They don't make many mistakes. I don't think they'll beat Texas A&M.
No.
But here's the decision they're going to have to make about scheduling. As you know, next year, anybody who really fashions themselves as a chance to get into the Final Four, picked by Condoleezza and her committee.
And Archie and Condi.
Right. Anybody who wants to, who aspires to that Final Four, is going to have to change the scheduling philosophy completely. Because it's not only the record, it's the strength of schedule. And you can't play the schedule that Duke played this year, right, without admitting we really don't want to contend for the national championship. We want to try and get a good record, go bowl game, and in a lucky year maybe get into the ACC championship game again. So that's going to be the – and Carolina's got Liberty next year, right? They've got San Diego State next year, and they've got a tough schedule after that. But all the teams that really want to aspire to reach that Final Four are going to have to redo their scheduling. And you'll see what Duke really thinks of itself – when they start.
Well, they're gonna jazz up the Wally a little bit,
yeah.
Make that a little bit more of an attractive place to play. And, you know, we've said it before, I like him, and it's so hard to like a Duke coach because we're taught from birth not to like a Duke coach, Steve Spurrier, Mike Krzyzewski. And now you got this guy that everybody likes and that he'll be able to attract on a national basis. But will he be able to attract good second and third string offensive linemen? My old line, you're only as strong as your third string offensive line. Because in November, that's who you're playing. The biggins blow their knees out in September and October. That's going to keep on happening.
Guys, one more question about 2013 before we put it in the books and until we officially put it in the books just behind us here. What was the peak of 2013? What was the high point of 2013 for the Carolina football team this year? Was there one that stands out to you that said, all right, this Carolina football team, this is what defines it as far as the up point?
I'll go first. I think the fact that we almost beat Miami, that showed them that if we go a little bit harder and get a bounce, we can beat a good team. We're not as bad as we were at East Carolina. We're not going to finish 1-11.
I can still see in my head Bryn Renner down on his knees holding his helmet after that game, after the finish of that game. It just, you know, I remember watching on TV. I was in Williamsburg watching that. I just, you know, they believed they could get that one, and there was some kind of sparkle in the eye for that game.
Well, you know, I like the Boston College game because Boston College turned out to have one of the great rushes in the history of college football, and I like our approach. After that game, it looked like our season was down the toilet. I liked our approach. We gave up one long run to Williams. But the idea that we were able to regroup and build some momentum going forward, I think that's a great credit to Fedora. And I also like, again, I like that we started hearing the names of freshmen and sophomores that we hadn't heard of. That really bodes well.
All right, we've forgotten one game, and we haven't even mentioned this team. But at one point, about 5 minutes into the state game in Carter-Finley, we were down 10-0, and a blowout was possible. And we came back and whipped those sons of guns. And that could have, I mean, we all were watching that game, and we were going, oh, no, life's going to be hell for the next year. They're going to blow us out now. I mean, they were they got a fumble or an interception, and 5 minutes into it, they were up 10-0. Those people were going nuts. They were, you know, they doing all this crazy stuff those people do. And we came back and whooped them decisively.
That demonstrated the toughness of the team, but we know, and you know, that Dave Doran's team lost the last 7 or 8 games this year. They didn't do much. You know, that's a game moving forward. When you get into a situation like that, you have to win that game. I don't care where the game is played. But when you're so much better than the other team, we had to prove to ourselves that we were, and we were.
You're listening to Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. We're outside the Belk Bowl, Bank of America Stadium, where we'll kick things off in less than 2 hours' time. Now we're going to send it off to the Tar Heel Sports Network in
24 minutes time. We're going to wrap up the 2013 season officially here just behind us. But when we come back, more about the Belk Bowl. We've got predictions and some more conversation here on the Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. Join us. Hey, guys.
Hey, Ron. It's my favorite time of the year again.
You mean the holidays, David?
I mean basketball season, Ron. But now that you mention the holidays, you should come do some holiday shopping at Fitz Lumber and Hardware. We've got great stocking stuffers and all the tools needed for the weekend warrior fathers out there attempting the ever-growing honey-do list into the new year. From the Fitz Lumber and Hardware family, we wish you and yours a happy and safe holiday season. As always, thanks for your business.
At Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace Headquarters, we are thrilled with the tremendous response to our hot, fresh coffee, but we need to clarify a few points. Cruiser's brews fresh coffee and discards any that doesn't get enjoyed while fresh. This not-so-fresh coffee is not available for purchase in retail by other coffee shops. Though Cruiser sells coffee shop quality coffee using 100% Arabica beans, we cannot provide the snooty service often associated with coffee shops. And although our taste break guarantee is a wonderful start, we cannot guarantee that the rest of your day will be perfect. That, my friend, is up to you. Fresh, great-tasting coffee, guaranteed, only at Cruiser's. Good to go.
Welcome back to the Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. We are live just outside the Bank of America Stadium where the Belk Bowl will be played in just less than 2 hours' time. 3:20 kickoff. Blake Shelton at FanFest here. He's loud and having a good time over there on the stage. And guys, we're breaking down this game and breaking down the season. We've put 2013 in the books, and we're moving on to 2014. And Carolina hoping that 7-6 is where it takes its record into the off season this year.
Yeah, 6-7 is a very ignominious record because, again, it means that you got into a bowl at 6-6, which a lot of people think is a joke to begin with, and then you lost that bowl.
So you know, I've written so many columns on this. 60 teams playing and rewarding mediocrity. I'm kind of beyond that now. They're going to add extra bowls next year. There's a South Miami Bowl and stuff. So the idea of cutting back to 10 bowls for the top 20 teams, I'm not going to get that wish. Well, that horse is gone, and so you got 6-6 teams playing, which again is to me, it's rewarding mediocrity. They're exhibition games. I think I should have asked Will Webb. I've always thought they ought to put in special rules for bowl games, kind of Canadian football stuff, where they just fling the ball and have five downs and, you know, do all kinds
of silly.
It's
all about TV anyway,
school,
right?
Schoolyard games for the games and not just play. Add new rules and test out new rules in bowl games because nobody really cares who wins. We want to win, yeah, but even, it doesn't matter.
I even heard a radio crew talking about it the other day. They said, yeah, one year we went to the whocares.com bowl, and that none of us wanted to be there. I think it was actually even an SID, Sports Information Director, said, you know, they've got to take their whole crew to this bowl game, and they didn't even want to be there.
Well, we joked about Christmas in Shreveport. Of course, that was the interim year, but nobody wants to go to Shreveport and stuff, but we go to a bowl game and we get swag. We all get a cheap watch, a set of Beats headphones, and a cheap warm-up suit, you know, whatever.
Well, yeah,
but it is a big deal for the practice. The extra practices are a big deal.
You get 15 extra practices, but, you know, when the ACC and other schools locked in 7, 8, 9 spots to bowls, you cannot say no anymore.
Sure.
You cannot turn down a bowl bid. In the days, remember the days where Maryland turned down the NIT after they lost to NC State in the ACC championship game? You can't turn it down. So someone ends up holding the Shreveport.
Well, you know, we're here with 6-6. We're here in a bowl game, and a team in Raleigh isn't. So when we go recruiting against NC State, we're in a bowl game, we got a ring, whatever, and they don't.
Absolutely.
So there it counts.
Yeah, and in the micro, it's really important for this program. We've played on this field, we talked a little bit earlier, played in this field 3 previous times. 2-0-4, if we hadn't beaten Miami, maybe Buntino doesn't even come back as the coach. But we get into the old Continental Tire Bowl. We play BC. Trivia question. Who coached BC in 2000?
Tom O'Brien.
T.O.B., you're right. He was the coach.
And Matt Ryan was the quarterback, wasn't he?
No, he was the backup quarterback. But you know what? What was the score after three quarters of that game? Carolina 24, the Eagles 21. Mm-hmm. BC scored 16 unanswered points in the fourth quarter, including the fake field goal for a touchdown that sealed that
game. Yeah, I remember when we played West Virginia here with Butch, and they had some quarterback that was incredible.
Matt White.
He was a run-and-gun guy, and he's kind of what he's selling Amway now somewhere.
What was the score?
He's out of football. I mean, he couldn't make it in the NFL.
That was Butch's first bowl game in 2007. What was the score at the end of three quarters of that game?
I don't even know what the final score was.
What was the score midway through the fourth quarter? It was Carolina 30, the Mounties 24. Then came Sean Drone's fumble, and Pat White threw his third touchdown pass the game we last saw. Now, the last one, the next year, we came back to the Meineke Car Care Bowl. The team really didn't, Butch Davis really didn't want to come to Charlotte for a second year in a row. We played Pitt. We were leading that game with 2 minutes to play. Lee Pace identified the name of the player who jumped off sides on a long field goal that Pitt had, trailing by 1 point. And jumped off sides, smoothed them forward. They scored they kicked the field goal with less than a minute to play, and we lost that game. So we're 0-3 in this stadium, whether it was Erickson Stadium or Bank of America Stadium.
Although we have won two games here against State. The David Bomar game and the Nate Brown game.
Exactly, and those are more important than the bowl games.
About to play more games more frequently here, at least scheduled. South Carolina next year.
Not next year. It's 2015.
Is it?
Yeah.
2015. And Spurrier will be gone by. He'll be dead, and they'll be playing some goofball.
But, you know, you talk about 35 bowl games. 35 bowl games give 70 teams a chance to say we went to a bowl. 70 teams have a chance to take a trip, get some swag.
And they basically get an extra spring practice, 15 practices, and most of the people who get reps in are the underclassmen.
Right, and that's why it's important. But, you know, 70 teams going to bowl games, that's more than half of the teams playing Division I major college football. When you look at the NCAA basketball tournament, there's about 300 teams who play Division I who are capable of getting into the NCAA tournament. We only take 68 of those in now. So look at the percentages. You know, it's about 1/4 or 1/5 of the teams in basketball.
Right, which games, Artie, have you watched so far, more than just surfing the net or surfing your remote? Which games have you watched? Did you watch East Carolina?
I did watch that a little bit because they were winning, and I wanted to see if they could put that.
All right, did we watch? I watched a little bit of our good friend Norwood Teague's Golden Gophers last night.
I turned that on and watched it because they were ahead, and then Syracuse.
Where they brought the coach that's got the medical condition, and they put him down the sideline. I mean, that was kind of cool, but it didn't work. The storyline didn't play out like it was supposed to, but at least he didn't fall down. Other games have you watched at all?
I can't say I have watched any of them.
I mean, Rand, how about you? Have you watched any? Now, how about coming up? Now, the big ones are coming up.
Right.
You want to watch Texas, Oregon.
Yep.
There's a lot of drama in there. What other ones?
To be honest, Texas A&M and Duke, to see what, you know, can David Cutcliffe finish the season that nobody thought he could do and that nobody thought Duke could do, I guess.
Okay, Alabama, Oklahoma to see Catherine Webb, you know, we got to do that.
Right, sure, right. Yeah.
That's a very good game. Are you going to watch the Central Florida
Baylor
game in the Fiesta Bowl? How the hell is Central Florida in the BCS game? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
What you got? Clemson, Ohio State.
That's an interesting game to watch because if Clemson loses that game bad, I think that it really puts down.
The last time Clemson played in the Orange Bowl, if I remember, they got whumped. West Virginia beat them 70 and counting. They could have scored 100 on them.
I mean, the conversation, too, has been Ohio State's strength of schedule and the fact that, sure, they went, what was it, two seasons undefeated?
Regular seasons undefeated.
So if they lay an egg here in the postseason, too, I mean, it just
this is a little sociocultural thing that I noticed in the last couple of days. Y'all might not have caught that. Michigan State has suspended their best player, their captain, their defensive captain, this linebacker who's a two-time legacy in his family. He did something out in Pasadena and got sent home, or he did it. Maybe they haven't left him. But anyway, he's not going to play. The coach made a decision. You are off the team. And a similar situation, I think, to our PJ. The players all said, we got your back, buddy. We're behind you. But wait a minute. He did something wrong. It's not that he got hurt. There's something he made a choice to do. We don't know what it was. That D'Antoni said, you're out of here. And yet the players are all giving him a big hug. I have a problem with that. And we did that with PJ a little bit.
Sure.
We made PJ into the Nelson Mandela of Carolina basketball.
Well, you don't know what he did. You know, Duke suspended Duncan.
Right.
Obviously, academics.
Right.
He's out of the bowl game. He's out of the entire next season. He can go back into school in the spring and play in 2015. So, I mean, I like that. I mean, guys are supposed to do what they're supposed to
right.
do. You know?
But don't make him a martyr. I mean, if he gets hurt in some kind of odd thing or he loses a parent, yes. But this guy obviously made some conscious decision that his coach said, you broke a rule. An inviolable rule, and you're out of the biggest game of your career. And you're important to us. You are the key to our defense. And I'm making the decision. You're not playing, and you're a legacy.
They do that in the Big Ten. The Big Ten has a lot of integrity in that way.
And I'm a big guy for accountability. If you make a mistake, you've got to pay a price.
Okay, so if he breaks the rule before the championship game, not before the bowl game, how different is that? Because really, you're taking the money from the bowl game, regardless. Win or lose, you're taking the money.
Right.
The championship game, it's got a lot more weighing on it.
Well, I always kid about this period, this December, how many players ended up getting thrown off of rosters in December. A lot of it is a lot of school semesters in, and a lot of these players skated academically and didn't go to class, and so they flunk out. And you've got to pass so many classes in fall semester to play in post-semester thing, which is going to be a factor with the playoffs.
No,
the playoffs are going to affect that.
I don't agree with that.
That's why we have a wonderful program.
I don't think you're out of school until the first day of class in the spring semester. I do
okay.
not. I think you may know you're out, but I don't think you're officially out.
Okay.
Especially in the SEC.
But a lot of these guys whose eligibility is up, and they've been faux students anyway, and they just punt academics, and then it catches them in the butt in December and January.
All right, guys. So one more bowl game. Of course, we haven't mentioned it. It's the national championship game. It's not a bowl game. It's the national championship game. Auburn and Florida State. Auburn making the run of the year. Coach Gus Malzahn, 4 years ago, saw a national championship at Auburn as the offensive coordinator, now doing it as the head coach, trying to make that run again. Do they have what it takes to stand up to Florida State? Because everybody says Florida State is the real deal.
Well, Auburn, if you saw them in the SEC championship game against Missouri, the perception is they can't be stopped.
Oh, that was right? something. I mean, I'm a Missouri guy, but that was incredible.
But when you look at how Auburn beat Georgia on a Hail Mary pass, how they beat Alabama, how they got to where they get, Florida State had one close game this year against BC, I think it was by 14 points. They annihilated everybody on the schedule.
You can't argue that Auburn hasn't used, I don't want to say luck, but luck, for the lack of any kind of other term. Auburn has used luck this year. There's luck in every, not every game, but in every season, and possibly
every game. And you're saying Florida State has saved their luck. They haven't cashed any chips in.
Well, we need Florida State to win that game for a couple of reasons. Obviously, for the ACC.
Now, do we get more money if they win? There's not a winner's-loser's purse in a bowl game.
It's split down the middle.
Yeah,
yep.
Championship game.
What is it, $22 million a pop?
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter whether you win or lose.
Exactly.
You know going in how much money you get.
Right.
And that goes into the conference thing.
That's right.
But the other reason why Florida State needs to win is you can't have the SEC saying they won eight straight national championships. Come on.
I know another school who has won eight straight of something. That would be my Appalachian State Mountaineers with eight straight Southern Conference titles. Does that mean nothing to either of you?
Did they win it again this year?
No, they were not eligible for it this year.
Oh, then
they were leaving for the Sun Belt, so
they should go
they
back.
They didn't win it last year either.
They should go back based on what happened this year.
All right, let's take a break right now. You're listening to The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. We're going to come back, wrap things up. We've got 10 minutes until we send things off to the Tar Heel Sports Network. Blake Shelton in the background right now at FanFest here at Bank of America Stadium. We'll get you ready with predictions and the two-minute drill coming up. You're listening to The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Having a nice lawn is not impossible.
Our mission at Landscape Logic is to help you discover the possibilities for your landscape. We'll evaluate your landscape, prioritize your needs so that you can make a decision based on practicality or economics. We are qualified and committed to giving you the direction and care you need to create a finished and kept look for your landscape.
Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to visit LandscapeLogicNC.com. Landscape Logic, the logical choice for all your landscape needs.
6 seconds on the clock. Taylor spins, pulls up, and hits the jumper. Let's go to the instant replay. Taylor made a move past the guard, and what was that?
Looks like he pulled out his phone and called Geico for a free rate quote.
In the middle of the game?
He saved hundreds of dollars on his car insurance and nails the shot.
You can't stop him. You can only hope to contain him.
Students, alumni, and faculty of any ACC school could qualify for a special discount on Geico Auto Insurance. Call or go to geico.com/the ACC.
You may already know that AT&T is the nation's fastest 4G LTE network. And now, independent third-party research has confirmed that AT&T is also the most reliable 4G LTE network. But what does that mean for you? Whether you're connecting with family and friends, getting the job done at work, or simply looking for entertainment, you want a wireless network you can count on. That's why AT&T built the nation's fastest 4G LTE network. And we're not the only ones saying it. PC Magazine recently ranked AT&T's LTE network as the fastest overall, and PC World stated that AT&T's LTE service is the fastest 2 years running. Not surprisingly, that same lightning-fast network is now the most reliable as well. AT&T, the nation's fastest and now most reliable 4G LTE network. Rethink possible. AT&T reminds you to never text and drive. It can wait.
Speed claim based on national carrier's average 4G LTE download speeds. Reliability claim based on data transfer completion rates on nationwide 4G LTE networks. 4G LTE not available everywhere.
Live just outside Bank of America Stadium, this is the Good Sports with Art C and Bob Lee. I'm Brand Northam, and battle will begin in just about an hour and 20 minutes, a little bit more than that, about an hour and a half here at Bank of America Stadium for the Belk Bowl, UNC and Cincinnati. It's time for the two-minute drill, and we begin with, let's see, Art, let's go alphabetically. Art, who will be UNC stars of the game today?
Oh, it's got to be the defense. The defense has got to stop Cincinnati's passing game. They got a quarterback named Brendan Case who's pretty good, completes a lot of his passes. We cannot drop interceptions. We have to take advantage of every opportunity.
So you're saying Trey Boston, maybe?
I would say, Trey, be Boston strong.
Bob Lee, who are the stars for UNC?
I'm going to go with the guy that's, this is his last game wearing the blue helmet or the blue and black helmet or whatever color we're wearing.
It's black today.
Is
black
okay?
With all blue uniform today.
All right.
That's what the fans chose.
I'm going to say Eric Ebron.
Eric Ebron.
I'm going to say Big Eric's going to make a couple of one-handed stabs and just add a couple of zeros to his contract.
Where's Bryn Renner stand today? Is he on the sideline today?
Bryn Renner is probably going to help Wahl Bell and by committee.
Coach might need it today, yeah?
That's right. Blake Anderson is being announced right now, introduced as the new head coach at Arkansas State.
Can you name any University of Cincinnati football player ever?
I can. Oscar Robertson.
How much research did you have to do to name these guys?
Nick Van Exel and Jack Twain.
I kept trying to think, and everyone I think of is a bingo. I think of Kenny Anderson. I think of, of course, Gio Bernard, our guy, or Boomer Esiason. I can't think of any Bearcat football players. They probably had their choo-choo. Everybody had their choo-choo. But by golly, I've been following football for 50 years. I cannot think of a Cincinnati Bearcat football player.
All right, bonus question. Where did Tommy Tuberville coach after Auburn?
Texas Tech.
All right.
And he left there in the middle of the night, leaving a recruit at the dinner table.
Another bonus question. We're really not here with Anthony, Rand, Bob Lee, and Art C. We're really here with Blake Shelton.
We kid about bowl games and stuff. There's a lot of excitement here. There's fans all around, and
they're about to push us out of the way here.
You know, throwing rocks at you, and you know they always thought you were uglier than you are.
Here's your question: Who's Blake Shelton married to?
It's not Faith Hill, and it's not Underwood. I don't know.
Yeah, Miranda Lambert.
Come on,
get with the country.
It's time for predictions now. We've got UNC at 6-6. Cincinnati at 9-3. The ACC and the AAC. What are your predictions?
28 Tar Heels, 17 Bearcats.
That's a good game.
They're dancing on Franklin Street tonight.
That's a tight game.
No, more points. 42 for the Tar Heels, 28 for the Bearcats.
42-28.
Wait a minute. I got to say, it's been another great season working with my buddy here. We give each other a hard time. We love working together. We hope you folks back in Orange County, the CHL audience, can understand that we do it a little bit different, that you enjoy us. You don't have to always agree with us. Please don't, but please keep listening and please keep servicing our sponsors.
It has really been. It has been. It's indescribable what I, how I would say, working with you on the Good Sports.
Well, guys, we'll be back next year.
I'm sorry that you had to finish the season with me. I'm sorry that Ron Stutz decided to take off for the Belk Bowl, but I'm glad to have been a part of the Good Sports for one time this year. That's right, Anthony Wellman, of course.
Anthony, you can't go unless Anthony plugs you in, baby.
There you go.
So 28-17, 42-28, those are the final scores predicted today. I'm going to go with 35-21. I'm gonna split the difference of you two, I guess. 35-21.
Ozzie Zumba, 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 Ozzie Zumba, Zumba, Zay. So heels.
Anthony, what's your prediction for today's game? Final score.
28-31 Tar Heels.
Tar Heels 31-28.
On a Ryan Switzer return.
On a how many Ryan Switzer punt returns do we see today? He's had time to rest his leg.
He breaks one for 20 yards, but he gets called.
Well, okay. You know, 20 yards, that's weak.
They'll
for Ryan
kick to
Switzer.
Him. They have to kick to him. It's a rule. You've got to kick to him because it could be a great play.
We've got to get to Brandon Case. We've got to get to Brandon Case. Sack him a few times. Discombobulate the passing game. But because they can score, right? And Lee Pace says they have a good defense. But
you said all blue uniform, blue top, blue bottom, black helmet.
It's Carolina blue, all top and bottom, dark helmet, black helmet. That's what the fans chose. They let there's 28 different varieties of uniforms that you can use, or whatever it is, whatever crazy.
Larry hasn't asked me once this year, so I'm sure my opinion doesn't matter. I'm an old school tradition.
Carolina blue, top and bottom, black helmet. Now, also one other person too. Watch out for this guy, Anthony McClung. He's a senior receiver for Cincinnati. He's got 908 receiving yards on the season. He's looking for 1,000. 98 yards today will do it. All right,
where
guys,
else you going to learn information like that,
Chance? You know what? On the last minute of the last show of the Good Sports, we got into some X's and O's.
We did.
That's right.
No deep snappers, no nickelbacks.
That wraps up the Good Sports with Art C. A big thanks to Brian Chakos, Rick Steinbacher, Woody Durham, Dan Hoare, Jones Angel, Jeff Beaver, Battle Wall, Mike Crum, Will Webb. What a show that was today. And Lee Pace as well. Thank you so much. Kenny Dyke, Matt Oakes, of course, Anthony Wellman, the executive producer. I'm Rand Northam with Art C and Bob Lee for 2013. Good day and goodbye from Charlotte, North Carolina. Off to the Belk Bowl and off to the Tar Heels Sports Network.